God continues to work miracles in our lives, right? Even when it doesn't look like he's working. Because he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He's always there, always guiding and directing. And we pray continually that he'll confirm his word with signs and wonders, and God does do that, right? From time to time, we have dedicate our services to making sure that we're communicating in our congregation. Such a challenge to be communicating. Without communications, there are no healthy relationships, and God is a God of communication, amen? That's why we have prayer. Prayer is communicating with God. If we're not communicating with God, we have no relationship with God. And so God gives us that. And God desires the body to be healthy. And in order for the church to be healthy, we need to be in good communication with each other. In Psalm 133, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. For there God commands the blessing, life forevermore." So he desires unity in his church. And we pray for this and we work hard at this. And sometimes we don't do a good job of communicating. But I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I want to look at this here this morning for a little bit. We're going to be sharing some things about what God is doing in our midst this morning and what he has planned for us in the future. Colossians, a young brother in Christ years ago came to me and said, "I learned something out of the book of Colossians." I said, "That's not the book of Colossians, it's Colossians." He says, "Yeah, but that's where God's will collides with my will." I said, "All right, he's got it." Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which was idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Wow, what a passage of scripture. There's three main points in this passage. Number one, we have a relationship with Almighty God through Christ our Lord. And because of that, we can set our minds on the things above where Christ is seated and keep him in focus. How many of us know that's a daily discipline? Keeping Christ in focus. Why? Because he is our life, it says. We are no longer our own. We were bought with a price, the Bible says. As a Christian, a born-again Christian, Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I." Not I. It's Christ who lives in me. So we want Christ to live his life through us. Life is no longer about us. It's what God wants to fulfill through us. And that's the life of a Christian. And we're going to be with him one day for all eternity. So first of all, we have a relationship with Christ. Because of that relationship, we have the grace and power to say no to the old patterns of behavior. Things we used to live in, we can say no. It says put off then what is earthly in you, sexual immorality. We don't have to go with the world. Anything goes out there, recreational sex. What's wrong with that? No, that's part of the old life. Now we live a new life. And you'll notice these passages of Scripture have to do with relationship. God is a God of relationship. Put away sexual immorality and passion, evil desire, covetousness, wanting what other people have. And put off, again, these things that have to do with relationships. Put away anger and wrath and malice and slander. All these things are destructive to the unity in the body of Christ. God wants healthy relationships. That's why he says, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you were called into the one body. See, this passage of Scripture begins with a focus on Christ. Then it moves towards a transformation of our life that's going to bless everybody. How many of you are so thankful for people who are growing in Christ? Don't you love it when others are growing in Christ? Isn't that a blessing? Yes. How, do you think others are really thankful when you're growing in Christ, right? Right? Okay. And so that's what this. And then finally, God wants unity in the body. And it takes communication. He goes on to say here, clothe yourselves toward one another with humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Notice it doesn't say be a bear with each other. Putting up with each other. All of our little idiosyncrasies and our attitudes and our mistakes and our perspectives. You know, as the body of Christ, we all come. We're a bunch of messes saved by grace, right? That person next to you is an absolute mess. There's nothing good that dwells in our flesh. Anything good in us is God. How many know that? See, we are what we are by the grace of God, and we are being transformed. We're under construction. We are changing, and we have to be patient with each other. And that's what God is saying here. If anybody has a complaint against, anybody ever have a complaint against another Christian? Ever been offended? If you have a complaint against them, then it says, give them a piece of your mind. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And then there's a command, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. You know, people who've been offended and hurt, when they don't forgive, here's what happens. They don't forgive, then they continue to rehearse that hurt. When we're unwilling to forgive, that hurt is just there. We keep rehearsing it. As we keep rehearsing that hurt and reliving that hurt, bitterness starts to form in our heart. And Hebrews chapter 12 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter roots spring up, defiling many. As that bitterness springs up, we can't keep quiet about our hurt. So we start talking to other people about our hurt and what this person did to me, what that church did to me, and what this happened to me. And we defile people, and it's damaging to their life and damaging to the body of Christ. We need to forgive to have healthy relationships. You know, marriages, we have several marriages in our church that have been going on over 50 years. And 40 years. You know what I found? A healthy marriage is the combination of two very forgiving people. That's a healthy marriage. Because we're not perfect, but we have to forgive. And so God wants healthy relationships in the body. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Peace, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Then it goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why we focus on the word of God all the time. Let it dwell in us richly so that we can teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So we're speaking the word to each other. We're growing together. How many grateful for that? That is the body of Christ. That's what God wants. And so we are very committed to doing these things. And every now and then we have people who have been here for a year or two, and they come to us with questions, or how do we get answers in the church? So we're always working on communication. Always working on communication. It's a challenge. How many know that's a challenge? I'm finding, I've been married 43 years, the older my wife and I get, the more we need to communicate with each other. Now, when we first got married, I thought, it'll get better. We don't have to talk so much when we get older. It takes more communication. Because we change. We're always changing. So we work hard as a congregation. We have people in our church who are just born, from the newborns to the young families to young adults to youth and young adults, all the way up to those in their 80s here or more. My mother is 91 back here. And so we span a large age group, okay? And communication is a challenge. It's a challenge. The older people, they like bulletin inserts so that they can take them with a magnet and put them on their refrigerator and they can remember things. Okay? We like refrigerator magnets. You know, the young people, they don't know magnets. They don't have refrigerators that they put stuff on. Everything's on their phone. So we have tried to keep up with the times and keep praying for us. We have texting. You can text any of the leaders, the staff, the elders. We have email, we have e-announcements, we have e-prayer. How many of you remember prayer chains when you had the little cards? Some of you here, you know, we don't have prayer chains anymore. It's all on email. We have a Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook, but the church has a Facebook. Why? Because the younger generation communicates through Facebook. And when I'm talking about the younger generation, I'm talking about 35 to 45-year-olds. Now, under 35 years old, they don't hardly use Facebook anymore either. They use Instagram. So now we're starting an Instagram account, which I don't really understand, but I love seeing the pictures of my grandkids on Instagram because my children set it up, and Snapchat and all these kind of things. And so we're trying to keep up with the times and how to communicate. We've had to go to online giving. The older people like to put checks in the offering. Someday we may go to boxes you can put them in. I don't know. But young people, they don't have checkbooks. You don't write checks. Boop, 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 boop. I go with my kids. They take their cell phone, boop, 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 and that's it. It's done. You know. Now they even have an app where if you're at a meal with a whole bunch of people and one person pays, you can just get on your phone and you can pitch in and with a tip and everything. And everybody's communicating around the table in their phones. We're at a new time. It's a challenge to keep communicating, and so we're committed to that. So this morning we're going to be reminding people and maybe informing some of the new people about things that God has done in the church. There are several distinctives that he has raised up here that we're going to be talking about and what God has for us in the future. And then after this service, we're going to go to the fellowship hall. You're going to be able to meet leadership. We have handouts out there. We have handouts today that nobody in this church has seen. So make sure you go down there and get a handout. And we're just trying to keep the communication lines open. So I'm going to ask Pastor Samuel to come. He's going to share with us. He's been with us for 12 years. And the reason I appreciate his, praise God. The reason I appreciate his sharing is when he came to our church, we were different. And he began to learn about some of the distinctives of our church. He's growing in that. It's a huge blessing to us. And Pastor Samuel, would you come and share with us a little bit about this morning, okay?
You know, a few years ago, 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I guess, I came to the States. And I've been a Christian for 5-6 years in Mexico, and I started looking for a church where I was in Arizona, and that tells you my ignorance, and I didn't go out much. So I went to churches, and I asked them what they believe, and they tell me, we believe in the Bible. So I said, great, awesome. So start going to church 2-3 Sundays, and I realized that they did believe in the Bible, but they didn't believe what I believe of the Bible, so because they applied the Bible differently. And how many know that's taking place in a lot of congregations right now? So, you know, I went to another church, and pretty soon I kind of gave up. I thought, well, I don't think there's much Christianity in the United States. Everybody's Christians, and everybody go to church, but they don't really believe what the Word of God says. So I didn't go out much. And, you know, eventually I made my way up here to Colorado, where I came to work, and then I went to church in Cooper Creek, where the church was 15 years ago for the first time. And I visited the church for a year and a half before I married. And somebody invited me there, and I got to meet Pastor Doug. And, you know, I was growing in my understanding of English. My English was still limited. But there are things that I really enjoyed of the congregation, and I got to know what Winter Park Christian Church was about. Now, this morning, as we're communicating here, we want to start by communicating our vision, you know, what the elders believe and the pastors teach, and as a church, why do we exist? And what are the things that we do as a congregation in this community? Why we take seriously our call in the midst of this community? And there are three general things that I want to share with you this morning before I go into these distinctives that Pastor Doug was sharing. There are three general things that I feel I've seen, you know, in this congregation from the moment when I came 15 years ago. And then 13 years ago, we started meeting here on Sunday afternoons, leading the Hispanic ministry. And 12 years ago, I became full-time staff member in this congregation working as a minister in the Hispanic church. So, I was growing and I was understanding what the church was about. And still today, if you were to ask me, what is Winter Park Christian Church known for? What is the thing that we do here as a general foundation in this congregation? Well, the first one is we teach through the whole counsel of God. That's something that we aim at. That's our purpose. In fact, in the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 20, when he was about to depart from Ephesus and he spent some time there, he says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And you know, if you come to church here in Winter Park Christian Church, we do this. We want to teach through the whole counsel of God. How does this look like? I mean, what does this mean? I mean, and I think every congregation that you go should really teach through the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. And sadly, I mean, this is not the case anymore, but how does this look like for us in Winter Park Christian Church? Well, we teach through the books of the Bible. Right now we're going through 1 Peter. A couple years ago we were in Philippians. 3-4 years ago we were in Ephesians. Pastor Doug taught us through the whole book of Luke. And then a few years ago we went through the whole book of Psalms, trying to understand and seeing what worship and praise means and how does that look like and how that takes place in a congregation. In fact, not many years ago we went through the whole Bible and just, you know, pick up different chapters of the Bible as we were reading through the whole Bible. So we teach through the whole counsel of God. And we believe that the scripture is for us right now, and we can learn from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And with that, you know, teaching through the whole counsel of God, we teach any subject from the Bible in light of the whole scripture, in light of the whole counsel of God. For example, if we teach of worship, we go through the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation in what the Bible says about worship. If we teach about marriage, we know that marriage was established in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And yes, there were times when people had multiple wives and all that. And we want to teach why that happened and what is the standard in the New Testament and what we believe right now. And what is the standard of this congregation when we speak of marriage. So this is what we do. And in that, you know, we have a commitment to share what it says and how it applies to our lives in the times in which we live right now. We believe and proclaim that the Word of God is as relevant today as it was back in the time when it was written. How many of you believe that right now? And you know, this is changing. When we were looking at these distinctives, I thought, I want to start with the main vision of the church. And the main point of this congregation is we are committed to teach the Word of God in a time when that's becoming irrelevant. People is saying, well, you know, the culture is changing, technology is changing, a lot of things are being done differently. Do we still believe this is the Word of God for us today? And what does this mean for us right now? That's our first foundation. Now, also with it, we disciple the next generation. That's the second thing we do. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, I want to read these three verses, and they are very known, very common. We read that Jesus says to the apostles, disciples, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So our priority here is to teach through the whole counsel of God and disciple. The goal, the aim, the purpose of us is to teach and disciple the next generation to the point where they become disciples that will train others. And Pastor Doug will speak a bit about this a little later in the third message here this morning. Now, through the study and teachings of the scripture, you know, here in church, whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday morning or women's Bible studies, life groups on Tuesday and Thursdays, we do want to disciple the next generation. And you know, a lot of times you will come here on Sunday mornings and you will hear us that we say, this is a good time for you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ if you're not a Christian. If you haven't accepted Him as your Lord, why don't you humble yourself and come to us and we will pray with you so that you will accept Jesus today. And we evangelize in many ways and we challenge people to accept and believe in Jesus. But when you come to church, you know, on a regular basis, we assume that you are someone who's already open to the gospel enough to come to church. And you want to know what the Bible says and you want to grow in the knowledge of the Bible. So a lot of what happens in the congregation is with the goal and the purpose of discipleship. If you're coming, you believe in Jesus to some extent. Maybe this is your first Sunday. We expect that you listen to something through the Word that will encourage you and challenge you to become a Christian. But we don't want to spend time just saying the same thing over and over. We want us to grow to the level and maturity of Jesus Christ. And that takes place by discipling people. And by sharing everything that is in the Word of God. So we do have a Christian school. We have a Hispanic ministry. We have local and foreign missions that we support. We have different Bible studies and life groups. And everything is aimed with the purpose of discipling one another. Now, the third thing that I noticed when I came to Winter Park Christian Church from the beginning was a great focus on worship. And I remember from the very beginning, you know, I couldn't, and I didn't really understand everything from the message. But, you know, through coming to church, I saw that there was worship taking place every Sunday. And we focus on that a lot. We worship God in corporate worship here. And it's a big focus of what we do in Winter Park Christian Church. We want to, you know, give our hearts to the Lord through worship. We want to be able to say, Lord, here we are. Through this time of worship, open my eyes, my heart, my mind to You. And fill me with Your presence. Allow me to sense and to know that You are real right here. And if I have problems in my life and I am carrying burdens, I want those to be lifted up through the time that I worship with one another. And, you know, this is not a show. This is not a concert. We come here to raise our hands, to be free, and to say, Lord, I want to give You my everything through worship. And those are the three aspects of Winter Park Christian Church that are general and that I believe every church should be focusing on. And we do that to the best of our ability. Now, we also have distinctives. And I'm going to share through these nine distinctives that I believe makes us different from any other congregation. And they're different to us because of the community in which we are and the people that we serve and the vision of Pastor Doug, the vision of the elders, the vision of the school that we have, the ministries that God has called us to have here. We don't have all the ministries that every other church has somewhere else. We are unique in the fact that we're here in Grand County and the community that we have. We want to serve to the best of our ability. So we are committed to nine distinctives that are what we feel that God is calling us to do. One of them is proclaiming the sovereignty of God. And if you come to this church, you will see that through the messages and through what Pastor Doug teaches and everything, we are focusing a lot in proclaiming the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He chooses us according to His will. He loves us according to His will. And He does everything according to the counsel of His will, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And we proclaim that God is sovereign over the whole universe. You know, I remember coming to church in the beginning and remembering this illustration of Pastor Doug. Maybe you remember that when he will say, you know, God is not at head on with the devil at the same level of the devil trying to win control over the universe. God is in control of the universe. And that means He's in control of the economy of the world. He's in control of the government and this even natural disasters and tragic things that take place. God is sovereign over everything that is taking place. And when you learn that, when we learn that, you know, we learn to rest in the sovereignty of God and to trust Him and to depend on Him and to know that He's faithful. And whatever He's doing because He's got a plan on it. And we learn and trust in His grace. And so we are committed to proclaiming the sovereignty of God. We are committed to believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are active today as they were active in the beginning of the church. And this is something that not all churches believe, these distinctives. You know, we believe that the Spirit is moving, and from time to time, as John was sharing this morning, God will do miracles that are, you know, out of norm, and we praise Him for that. In fact, the Bible says that we should eagerly seek for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We are to do that. And we are to be seeking for God to be moving in our midst. You know, we will not accomplish the job that God is calling us to do unless the Holy Spirit is enabling us and doing mighty works among His people so that people can see the witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we want to proclaim that. We believe that. We're committed to this. We're committed to promoting Christian education. And a lot of what we do, we're supporting our school. We have a school here where we serve kids from kindergarten through 12. We're committed to that. We support our teachers. We support our headmaster, our principal, you know, the head of school. We have a school board. And not only in our school, you know, we, Christian education takes place through homeschooling. And even in our public school, you know, we want to teach Christianity through education. And we want to enforce that. We're committed to that. We're committed also to holding to the biblical definition of the marriage covenant. And in a time when the church is changing, as well as a society and communities are changing with the definition of marriage, we want to be able to hold to biblical definition of covenant, of marriage covenant. And marriage is not a contract. It's not something that should be dissolved for any reason. It's a covenant in the Bible. God establishes it, and we want to proclaim that and to commit to that. We also are committed to a complementary view of men and women in leadership in our church. And the way we do that, we teach that men are called to be the leader in their household and also in the church, in the congregation. We ordain pastors and elders that are men only. And there are many ministries in which we obviously encourage women to serve, but there are places and offices that are only in the Bible only call for men. So we hold to that complementary view of leadership. Also, we are committed to a no debt policy for Winter Park Christian Church. And what that means is, you know, when we are going to start a project or a building or maybe a new ministry, we pray to the Lord and we ask, Lord, is this something that you're calling us to do? And we say, if you are, Lord, would you provide? Would you open up the doors for us to have the needs, the provision for the needs that we have in this ministry or this building? And God is faithful. When He wants us to go in a direction, He will provide. We trust Him with that. And if God says this is not the time, we see it through the provision of the resources we're looking for. So we have a no debt policy in this congregation. Also, we're committed to actively supporting law enforcement and the military. And, you know, we speak about God establishing the law and the officers that we have in our law, even the government. And we believe that God is in control of that. And any authority that God establishes over us has been established by Him. And if we refuse to submit to the authority, we are refusing to submit to the will of the Lord and to the establishment of the Lord. And therefore, we will incur into condemnation if we don't submit to it. So we do that by having a service in which we support our law enforcement and speak about that clearly from the pulpit. And also in the military, you know, we pray for people that are in the military. We actively support Project Sanctuary, a program here in the YMCA in which we just bless veterans that come here and gather every month. We do that. We also are committed to supporting the Hispanic ministry. And the ministry, the Hispanic ministry meets here on Sunday night, but also throughout the week. You know, we have the different Bible studies. I am the minister over there, and God called me to be part of this congregation 13 years ago by serving in this ministry. And 12 years ago, I became a full-time member staff here doing that. And God has blessed the Hispanic ministry. We've seen a lot of people come to this place and receive Jesus Christ in their heart and then move down to their countries and be a testimony of what God is doing here. And this is a very special thing for me because that's how I came to grow in this congregation and to know the vision and the passion of this church. In fact, Pastor Doug came to me 13 years ago and he said, I've been praying for a Hispanic ministry for 7 years and I want you to help us with that. And I want to be part of a support for the Hispanic community by preaching the gospel to them. And I said, why do you want to do a Hispanic ministry in your church? You have enough people going there. Well, he said, I've been praying for 7 years. I said, I don't care. You may be praying for 10, but why do you want to have a church there, a Hispanic ministry that is meeting there? And he said, God called us to disciple whoever is in our community, and to share the gospel with them. Whether they are from Africa or Europe or Mexico or South America, God is calling us to do this. And you know, I believe in the vision and in the passion of the elders at that time. And you know, God has blessed us through these years. We've seen a lot of miracles in that Hispanic ministry, and we are committed to that. We're also committed to praying for Israel and supporting Israel in many ways. And we know that God has a call to the Jewish community, to the Jewish population in the world, and also to Israel, politically speaking, you know, as a nation. And we believe that in the future, God will deal directly with the Israelites. And we are supporting them, and we're praying for them all the time. So these are 9 of our distinctives, things that makes us different from any other congregation. And those congregations may be doing the will of the Lord, but these are the things that distinguishes us from them in this place in which we are. As I share these things with you this morning, this is who we are. This is our vision. If you're wondering, I'm going to Winter Park Christian Church, but I don't really know what we believe, what the church believes. This is the core foundation of the church. Now, we do have a doctrinal statement in the website, in paper. You may want to take one of those and know what we believe, I mean, in full detail. But this is kind of the, in a nutshell, what we do, what we believe, and what we promote from, you know, regular basis here. Amen? All right, I'm going to ask Pastor Doc to come back and preach for this.
Thank you, Samuel.
Third time here.
By the way, he did mention a website. We have a website. And you know who doesn't usually read our website are people that belong to our congregation. I don't know why that is, but you know who really knows about the website are people who visit. Because they're looking for a church, and they get on the web, and they find our website, and many times they'll come, and I'll say, do you have any questions? No, we pretty much know what's going on. All the ministries, I said, how about doctrinal statement? We've read your doctrinal statement on there. You know, we have a website that's being updated. If you want to find out a lot what's going on in our church and you're part of our church, that's one of the ways we're trying to communicate and get that word out too. So a couple other things about, I know some of you are visiting here, so you can be taking this home, praying. We pray for your congregations too. But our congregation is an elder-governed congregation. People come from different congregational experiences. Some are deacon-run, some are congregational. We are an elders-run church. Elders are appointed, and these are our elders up there. As we always say, they look a little scary, but they're not. We are very approachable. But thank God, each one of them are godly men, men of integrity, men who love this congregation. We pray sincerely about God's will to be done here. Thank God for them. Now, one of the best ways to communicate and to find out what's going on in the church is to ask the elders. We are very approachable. You can text us, set up a coffee time, come and talk to us. In fact, in your folders, there are questions. We know some people just have questions, but they don't really want to come right away. So you can write out your question. Make sure you sign your name. We can't answer questions to anybody who doesn't sign their name. But we really want to talk to you about any questions you have about anything in the ministry, past, present, future. And out in the foyer, there's a box you can put that in, and we'll contact you and talk to you about those things. Questions about anything, okay? That's one of the best ways to communicate with the elders. We have tremendous leadership here. Not only the elders, we have an administrative board of men and women who oversee all the finances in the church and make sure that we're maintaining financial integrity. We do that. We have a tremendous school board of men and women who are dedicated to Christ and to the training up of our children and the instruction of the Lord, like God's word tells us. We have a tremendous staff of men and women who do all the operations of the church. Everything that happens, our staff does an excellent job of that. We have a school board of men and women. We have leaders, 40 leaders in this church over different areas of ministry. And we're all open. You can talk to us about anything. So as you grow here and learn, we have handbooks in the foyer of all the ministries and all the leaders of the ministries and all the phone numbers of the ministries. And so we're trying everything we can to keep communication going, but it's a challenge, right? And it's one thing to try to communicate. It's another thing for people to take advantage of those communication things. And so that's what we're doing. The other thing, last thing we want to talk about here, is we are committed to discipleship, as Pastor Samuel said. We are committed to the next generation. That's why we have a Christian school, but also the next generation of leadership. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can just listen to Paul's words to Timothy. He says, "You then, my child," speaking to Timothy, "be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others." So God is always looking at four generations. Paul passing on the truths to Timothy, who will pass on the truths to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Four generations. So God is always looking at the people coming behind us. And as leaders, we are very aware that our congregation spans the ages right now. But we are committed to training up the next generation of leaders. A pastor just told me recently when he thought I was going to retire, he's learned that a pastor, any pastor, is able to identify with and relate to people 10 years younger than him and 10 years older than him. And that's why congregations who do not look to the next generation and training them up grow old. When I came to Winter Park, I was 38 years old. I could identify with the 20-somethings, and I could identify with the 40-somethings. Okay? And as we grew, the church grew, and now I'm going to be 69 this coming week, and I can find myself identifying with the 60-year-olds and the 70-year-olds. All right? I mean, we're grandparents, and I'm more out of touch with young families. And so we need the next generation, which we have a lot of young leaders in this church. So we have already been preparing to pass the baton to the next generation. We have put up elders, and they're not up there again here, but you can put them back up there again, Gene. There we are. Okay, Ed Jackson is back here, 80 years old. He's been an elder here for over 20 years. I love Ed. Been a big part of this ministry. Gary and Hal down here at the bottom, they're 70. I'm one of the young bucks at 69. Okay? And then Samuel came on our elders board several years ago. He's in his 30s. Then Brett Payne we put on as an elder. He's in his mid-40s. We have Chris Welch over here who's an elder in training. And you see them praying for the offering. That's when our elders are up here. He's going to be an excellent elder in our church. We're planning the next generation to bring up the young people. A person who is very significant a part of this is Pastor Samuel. We've watched him come to church. He's grown up in this church. We sent him to Bible college. He got his associate's degree. He is growing in the ministry, as he shared with you. We ordained him as a pastor. He's been an elder for several years. God has not only has a strong calling on him to shepherd and to teach. Anybody notice his enthusiasm about God's word? I don't know if that comes across, but of course it does. But he has got a real gift of wisdom. I was gone for 3 weeks, and this is the first time that I can remember, and Gene, my secretary, has been with me for almost 19 years, first time that I did not get one phone call because Pastor Samuel was overseeing the ministry. He does over 50% of the oversight now already, so he's been involved in that. So as elders, if we've been praying, we see him as the next person who'll be taking over the senior pastor of the church. And we are going to be intentionally moving toward that in the next 2 years. Getting him ready to do that. Now, Christianity and discipleship is like a relay race. Okay? And when you're in a relay race, the person who's running the lap is ready to hand the baton off, but that next person has to get up to speed, right? Full speed, so that the passing of the baton is seamless. And that's what we see happening here with Pastor Samuel. Now, I want to clarify a couple things here. To those who are in our congregation, number one, we are not moving to Virginia Beach. We're not moving to Virginia Beach. Now, those of you who know, I have 13 grandchildren. 10 of them are back east, all right? 7 are in Virginia Beach, 3 in Alabama. But They're out there, and we're going to be involved with our grandkids as much as we can. We're flying back and forth out there. But I've talked to my children. We are never going to leave this place. We are called to Winter Park. We're called to this place. We're going to go home to be with Jesus from this place. So number one, we're not moving. If anybody says, Pastor Doug's moving, we're not moving, okay? First of all. And secondly, I'm not retiring. I don't see retiring in the Bible, so that I'm never going to retire. God's called us here to serve this flock. When I came up here in 1988, I didn't come up here to build a church. I came up here to serve the Lord and His people. And we're going to do that till Jesus comes. So I'm always going to be serving this congregation. So I'm never going to retire, but we are restructuring my time. And so I'm going to be moving to a support role as Pastor Samuel takes on the senior pastorate. I'm going to have my office. I'm going to continue counseling, working with discipleship. I see my part as training up the next generation of leaders, being more active in that. I got classes I want to teach. I am not burned out. I am more alive, more full of vision than I've ever been before, okay? So just so you know that. And so I am confident, we're so confident having Pastor Samuel, because he's my spiritual son. It's not like we have to go look outside there for some successor or anything. Praise God. God is moving through our congregation. We have a lot of young leaders that are ready to go, and I am so excited about supporting this next generation of leaders so that our church will continue on fulfilling God's will for us here. So very, very exciting times. Now, with every transition that happens, Satan attacks. You look at all through the scriptures, whenever there was a change of leadership, change of transition, change of place, the enemy attacks. So be very aware of those of us who are part of our congregation. We're not unaware of Satan's schemes, and we just tell him to get out of there, because the gates of hell will never prevail against Jesus' church. This is not my church. There are people in the community that call it Doug's church. This is not Doug's church. If it were, we'd be in major problems, all right? We are His church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So God is continuing to work. He's going to continue to work. And we are very excited about this transition. Pray for new leadership. We have absolute unity as elders. We've prayed with the staff in unity of spirit. All our leaders are on track of where we're going. And so this is an exciting time that we're in. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we are committed to discipleship and committed to the next generation of leaders. And that's where God is going to take us. So I want to close this morning before we sing one more song of worship. And then, by the way, we want to dismiss down to the fellowship hall. We hope you come down there. There's refreshments and snacks and handouts, and you can meet the elders. You can talk and ask questions if you have questions. Some may not have any questions. That's okay. But we are here. We try to be as transparent as we can in this church. We try to make the best decisions that we can. The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We will be as open with you about everything as we can without breaking anybody's confidence, because we hold people's confidence too. Last verse, just a reminder of what Colossians says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're committed to that. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That's what we do. Singing hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what we do. And whatever you do in word or deed, that covers every area of our life, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we're all growing. Lord, we are trophies of your grace. We're a bunch of messes saved by grace. And you somehow are making something beautiful out of the ashes of our life. And we are so thankful, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the next generation of believers that are coming in. Thank you for the next generation of leaders. We pray for Pastor Samuel and Delia. They are a godly couple. Your hand is on them. We pray your blessing on them as they continue to move forward into your calling on their life. We pray and we trust you're going to raise up another pastor and leader for the Hispanic ministry here. We thank you for that. We will pray to that end. We thank you for this today, Lord. And in it all, we want you to be honored and glorified. So we thank you for these things today now. In the wonderful name of Jesus, our great God and Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand and sing this last song in closing.